The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Lift your hands and thank Him for His presence. Where we live, where He has brought us into by His own mercies. We cry, Holy, Thou art holy. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Your presence is where we live now.
Father, we honor you. Thank you this evening. The entrance of your word gives light and understanding to simple hearts. We receive clarity by the ministry of your word. We are changed, we are transformed, and we will not remain the same. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
I say in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
This is day 23. Hallelujah. And this is the last week. Abi, in 30 days of light, 2025. Amen. Glory to God. Maybe you have to tell someone, maybe not here when you get home, or maybe on Facebook, how this meeting has been changing your life. Because it's been changing our lives. And one reason why I want you to tell someone is because when you have to talk about it, you now have to think to remember, because it's very easy to forget all that the Lord is doing. I told you one of those days that this shouldn't just be another meeting for you. Do you remember that? It shouldn't just be another meeting that you just mark attendance. I attended for 30 days or for 10 days or for 15 days. There should be remarkable changes that, you see, you can trace to this meeting. And it should start taking stock already. Is that okay? Start taking stock already. Start counting already. Start counting already. Are you following me? Start counting already. Check your spiritual life. Check your health, your career, both the testimonies you've sent and what you've not sent. As you're taking stock, be sending in your testimonies, like we said. Don't keep these things to yourself. Let us know. So I will need, before the end of this week, I will need maybe from you, a written account of how this meeting has blessed you. Send it to that testimonies@platformofgrace.org. Let us know what has happened. Did you get a healing? Did you quit an addiction? Did your prayer life get better? Did you win more souls? Have you been winning souls? Have you been winning souls? Amen. We'll get more into that somewhere in this meeting. Maybe by next tomorrow or so. Amen. But you must be a soul winner. So you have to tell us what God has done for you and through you by reason of this meeting. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's have our seats. Just welcome somebody by your side. It's a beautiful Monday evening. And it's getting better and better. So I promised us yesterday that today, what's our topic again? The God life, right? The life of God that we carry. And we've been going from one matter to another matter. All we are doing is that we are investigating and we are seeing how much that God has for us in this life. So that when we say God has given us His life, we should know what we are saying. Because that's not a casual statement. That's not a casual statement. That's a heavy statement. That's why John, speaking in 1 John chapter 5, he said, "This thing is right unto you, that you may know. That you may know you have eternal life." So that is need for you to know. It is that important that you may know. You need to know. Are you getting the point? In John's gospel, that this is John's epistle now. John has three epistles and one gospel. So in John's gospel chapter, I think chapter 20 or 21, he said there are many things that Jesus has done. He said if he begins to write and record them, he said all the books on earth will not contain. He said, but the reason I've recorded this one, I recorded, is so that you will know that, you know, yes, you are right. See the next verse. The next verse. Okay. Maybe go to the previous verse. He said, I've written that you will know, you know, that that there's eternal life in him. Let me get the verse I'm talking about. John chapter. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So it's important. That's chapter 20, rather, not 21. Chapter 20, verse 30. He said, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. He said, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So John is telling us that the singular purpose why he wrote his gospel is so that you will believe, and that believing will give you life. So life is such a big deal. So when we say we have the life of God, it's such a big deal. We must know what it means. It's one of the biggest threats of salvation. In fact, it carries every fact of salvation. It carries every fact of salvation, every fact of redemption. It carries every fact of what we have become by the reason of our coming into this life. Amen. And so we're going to take it a step further. Okay? I'm going to talk about one thing. It's be a quick one. Today and tomorrow, I believe we should be done with this, because I actually want to take us to how we can take of this God life we carry to bless others. But that will be maybe next tomorrow. So let me just tidy this matter. So I'm going to open up something today. Maybe let's hope that by tomorrow we should be done, right? Which is how to reign in life. Let's call it reigning in life. Reigning in this life that we've received. Because Romans 5 and verse 17, we're going to start with that. Romans 5 and verse 17, Paul said, for if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So he tells you that if you come into Christ, one of the things you receive abundance of grace. Somebody say abundance. Abundance of grace. What does abundance mean in your village? Abundance is too much of grace. So much of it. Abundance of grace. And what is that abundance of grace? A gift of righteousness. So the man that is in Christ has received the gift of righteousness. And it's beautiful, you see. Righteousness is a gift. Most times you ask people, are you righteous? Do you have righteousness? And they begin to think of all the sins they've committed or the ones they've not committed. Righteousness is a gift. It is a gift. Say, we shall receive the gift of righteousness and not the works of righteousness. Now, there is the works of righteousness, but what produces work of righteousness is the gift of righteousness. You will first be gifted righteousness before you can do righteousness. You can't do righteousness. That's why the Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rag before him. What it means is any way you try to behave right still doesn't count. I'm saying, if you are here and you've not stolen anybody's thing, you've never slept with anybody, you don't drink, you don't smoke, you've not killed anybody, you don't even think evil thoughts, right? What else? You don't even lie. You don't even jealous. You are just good. They trained you well from your father's house. You know, get wahala. You are still not righteous. Except you've received the gift of righteousness. Because that's your perfect righteousness. At its best, is as filthy rag before God. And you ask why? The reason is simple. God is holy. He has a standard that you cannot meet. Are you getting the point? I always jokingly used to say God is thrice holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. I say it jokingly. So he's holy three times. So you can't actually meet his standard. Right? The Bible said if you count iniquity, you shall stand. So where his standard of holiness is so high that you can't meet it. You can't. God is a pure God. So which is why if you do your best, Your best is still as filthy rag. Are you getting the point? They put all your righteousness, because ask people, are you righteous? And they answer, I'm doing my best. If you're doing your best to be righteous, then hello, you are not. Because your best can never be good enough. And that's what the people don't realize. They think to become righteous is to do your best. To put in your best effort. To try to do all you can. And can all you get. You will still not be righteous. Are you getting the point? Because the point is, you are not the one that set the standard. He set the standard of righteousness. He determines who is and who is not. And he determines it by his standard. You can't be. But glory to God, we've been given a gift of righteousness. So because he knows that we cannot be, he had to gift us that righteousness. Which is what you receive when you come into Christ. He gives you that righteousness. Therefore, any man outside Christ is not righteous. And it doesn't matter whether he behaves right. I hear people say, well, there are people who are not in church who behave better than people in church. Congratulations to them for behaving right. They are still not righteous. That's the truth. Are you following me, friends? That's the sincere truth. It's a gift. He said, by one man's offense, death reigned by one. That one man's offense is Adam. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. So it is by Jesus Christ that we receive that abundance of grace and gift of righteousness. So I can beat my chest today and say I'm righteous. And when I say that, you begin to look at me like, are you not bragging too much? No, I'm not even bragging enough. Are you following the point? I'm righteous. And when I say that, I'm not counting what I've done or what I've not done. I'm counting the fact that I've received a gift. Righteousness is a gift. It's a gift you are giving. You either have it or you don't have it. It is when you've received that gift, two things. It is when you've received that gift that you even have the capacity to do works of righteousness. Number two, it is when you've received that gift that any work you do will even count. I'll take that again. It's when you receive the gift of righteousness that you even have the capacity to do work of righteousness. Without the gift of righteousness, all you'll be doing is struggling, promising and failing, trying to meet God's standard and failing. Right? And secondly, it is when you've received that gift that anything you now do as work of righteousness can count as anything. So that you don't tell me, well, I'm not born again. I know they do all this on a church thing. But me, I know they do bad thing. That's your own. You're still not righteous. Because God has a standard. Let me explain it to you. Let me explain it to you very briefly. This is what I'm talking about, the God life. If I bring, now this is very serious. If I bring two people, right, and tell you, determine who is a boy and who is a girl. What are you going to check? Are you going to check their walking step? Is that what you check first? Talk to me. Will you check how they talk? Maybe the texture of their voice? Is that the first thing you check? Will you check maybe whether they walk like this or they walk like this? You are not going to check their mannerisms first. You check for the features that make them men or women. Does this one have breasts? Does this one not have? Does this one have muscle? What are you checking? Do they have the nature of that gender? It's when they now have the nature of the gender that you cannot begin to look for the mannerism of the gender. Are you feel what I'm saying now? So when you come into Christ, God gives you a nature. That nature is righteous. It is when you carry that nature as righteous that you cannot begin to look, okay, he doesn't lie. So let's look at this. They bring someone, the person doesn't have breasts, the person is just like me. But he begins to talk, hello guys. Will he be able to convince you that he's a woman? In fact, you even start laughing. He said, hello, how you guys doing? You will start laughing. You know why you are laughing? Because no matter how he's acting, he doesn't carry the nature. Are you following me, friends? That's why I said, it is when you receive the gift of righteousness that anything you do as act of righteousness begins to count. If you've not received it, everything you are doing is acting. Are you following me? If you are not born again and you refuse to do bad things, you are just acting.
an actor. And how we know you're acting is because one day you will get tired of acting and you show your true color. Because there is no nature. You're not carrying that God life. That God nature that makes it possible for someone to walk in righteousness. Just like we're teaching on love earlier. You know, first week of this meeting was dealt with love work and all of that. Imagine the kind of demand the believer that is made of the believer to walk in love. Such love where people hurt him, he will not react. You remember that class, right? Such love where he's just patient with people. Nobody can do that outside Christ. If you try to do that outside Christ, you can only struggle. Are you following me, friends? Do you see the quality of the love work we discuss in Christ? The quality. No bitterness. No envy. No sadness. Full of joy. You know, the man in the world could come out and help people. Do whatever he can do for them. But he's sad on the inside. That's not love work. The love you have in Christ is joy. It has peace. So in other words, the love you have in Christ starts from inside before it begins to manifest on the outside. You can't act that. You can't pretend your way into it. You either have it or you don't. But thank God we do. We have the gift of righteousness. Is someone following me this evening at all? We have the gift of righteousness. And what a blessing it is. Glory to God. He said, if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign by one Jesus Christ. So he's telling us that when you receive that gift of righteousness, he said one thing that will happen is that you will reign in life. And I want to talk about that. Once you are born again, you receive, you shall reign in life. Are you following me? Well, contextually, this reigning, because if you check like Amfire Classic said they will reign as kings. They will reign as kings. And it's good we explain it contextually before somebody thinks that the Bible is saying that when you receive the gift of righteousness, you're going to be a politician or become Nigerian president. That's not what he's saying. Are you following me? Let's read together Amplified Classic. Are you ready? Let's go. For if because of one man's trespass, lapse, offense, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing. So righteousness puts you into right standing with God. What did he now say? You shall reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. So we shall reign in life as kings. Revelation 1 tells us also in verse 6 that God has made us kings and priests. He has made us kings and priests. But it's good we explain this in context. In Romans chapter 5, what it is saying contextually is that we are going to reign, but that reigning is over death. He said death reigned by one. But now if you receive the gift of righteousness, you shall reign over spiritual death. Are you following me? You shall reign over sin. You shall reign over spiritual death. You shall reign over the death. Everything spiritual death entails. And it's very important. Now, that is the basic context. That's the basic context. Because people normally use this verse to do many things they want to do. They say, I'm going to confess in class. They say, why? Because they that receive the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. It's good to confess in class, but that's not the verse to actually use. Even though there is still a way you can explain it, and you just use it and do your thing. Amen. But then contextually, it is saying those that receive the gift of righteousness shall reign over sin, shall reign over death. So currently we are reigning over spiritual death. Do you remember that? We are reigning over sin, we are reigning over death, we are reigning over satanic wickedness in high places. We are reigning. But look at the beautiful thing. He said they shall reign, and the reigning is over death. Now, look at this. Let me refresh your mind. Let me see if you remember. When the spiritual death come into motion? When man fell in Genesis 3, right? So, Adam died spiritually. Is it clear to us? That's why God told him he will die. But notice when he ate of that tree, he didn't die physically. But he actually died spiritually. And eventually that spiritual death now produced physical death. Do you remember from the first week? Now, do you also remember that even though he died, listen, even though he died spiritually, that spiritual death produced some physical effects. In Genesis 3 verse 16, he died spiritually. But when he died spiritually, God now told him, your sorrow will be multiplied. He was telling the woman in conception. You shall bring forth children in sorrow. The desire of thy husband, your desire shall be to thy husband and shall rule over thee. Continue. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast taken to the voice of thy wife, as eating of the tree which I commanded thee not to eat, thou shalt not, okay, and all of that. He said, cursed is the ground for thy sake. So, hardship and all of this was a consequence of the fall of man. Is that true? The fact that we have to struggle to eat, lack and all of that, is a consequence of the fall of man. So, can we say that challenges on earth, physical struggle, lack and the rest of them, is a consequence of spiritual death? Am I going to be correct? Because of course man died spiritually, that all these challenges now came. So, will it also be right to say that because God has placed us to reign over spiritual death, we also reign over the consequence of spiritual death? So, it then means that man has been, the man in Christ reigns over spiritual death, over sin, and also reigns over every consequence of that spiritual death. That includes lack. Are you following me, friends? That includes the devil. That includes every challenge that could ever be. We've been empowered to reign as kings. And it's one of the beautiful privileges of this God life that we have. But many people don't know. Many believers are still living life as though they are at the mercy of life. They are at the mercy of events. The man in Christ has been made to reign as a king. Or as a king over the devil. Let's start with that. Over sin. So over the devil, we mean that there is no Satan that has the power to hold the believer down. 1 John 3 verse 8. For this reason was the Son of Man made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So the believer has power over Satan. Now over sin and sinful habits will mean that there is no sin strong enough that the believer cannot overcome. So no believer can say, I'm addicted to this. You have been made to reign over addiction. So it doesn't matter the addiction the believer is carrying. We have been made to reign as kings over spiritual death and every consequence of spiritual death. Now, that struggle, immorality struggle you have, is a consequence of spiritual death. You'll be made to reign above it. You see, it's better we're looking at it so you will know. So that when we are trying to deal with sin, you are not dealing with sin from someone who is under and sin is on top of you and you are saying, trying to fight it off. You are dealing with sin like someone who is seated and sin is under. So you are kicking it with your left foot. Now, if you carry that mindset, you will now realize there is no sin that is strong enough to hold you down. You're saying, I can't control. This is my anger issues. I can't deal with this. Anytime it comes, there is nothing like that. You've been made to reign. Are you following me, friends? That's why in my pastoral journey, I've met many people with different challenges, different sin, whatever. Some will come in and tell you, I've killed people. Others will come and tell you, I'm a thief. Others will come. None of these things have ever scared me. I've never looked at anybody and feel like, will this one ever change? No. He just needs to get eternal life. Once he gets eternal life, and he begins to learn of what he has in Christ, he will find out that from the day he got eternal life, he was seated above all those challenges. If he knows enough, he will kick it with his left leg. Yes. Because that's the reality. We've been made to reign as kings. But many believers are still living at the mercy of things. Now, if we move away from sin and Satan, think of other consequences. Other believers are still living under the mercy of challenge, of lack. They just live, the economy is bad. If we see, we go chop. That's not the plan. If you read Genesis 3, the fact that there will be lack on earth at all, the fact that there will be struggle on earth at all, the fact that there will be hardship is because man fell. We that have been liberated from that fall of man should not still be under the dominion of the result of the fall of man. Now think about that seriously. Hardship came because man fell. Now we have been liberated from that fall. We shouldn't be under the mercy of the result of that fall. Are you following me, friends? I believe this totally. When the Lord began to teach me this, that's when he began to hear me say things like, I can never be poor. When we say that, people normally say to us, be careful, oh. Be careful. All this, you can never be poor, you can never be poor. Who knows? People that talk like this, it's just by God's grace. We don't even know who will be rich and who will be poor. It's just God that determines. That is living like a beggar. Living like you are just managing life. Living like you don't know tomorrow. We've been made to reign. And I'm going to show you this in the Bible and why this is possible. We've been made to reign. He told Adam, from now, curses the ground for thy sake. So when I come into Christ, I can say to myself, blessed is the ground for my sake. Are you following me, friends? Yes. Because Jesus came to reverse the effect of that fall. Blessed is the ground for my sake. Can you say, blessed is the ground for my sake? So if I'm an agriculturalist, if I'm a farmer, and I plant, I can tell my crop, blessed is the ground for my sake, so you will produce. Yes. If I'm doing business, and I get a place, blessed is this place for my sake. So listen, and some Israelites began to live in this reality. So you see Isaac get into a land where there was famine. It was not producing for anybody, but it was producing for Isaac. Why? Blessed is the ground for my sake. So what that means is that I can be in a line of business that is not doing well, and everybody is seeing clearly that this is not the season for this business. Yet in that season, I'll be doing well. Because blessed is the ground for my sake. It's about reigning. It's the mindset. So the primary thing is that we have been made to reign over sin, spiritual death. But spiritual death has children that he gave birth to. It has consequences that he birthed. Do you get the point? We reign over all. I quote it again. For this reason, 1 John 3 verse 8, was the Son of Man made manifest. To do what? To destroy the devil. Is that what he said? Is that what he said? To destroy what? What are the works of the devil? Is sickness a work of the devil? Is lack a work of the devil? I get what I'm talking about now. So it's not just the reigning over Satan. We're reigning over Satan and everything he does. Everything he can ever do. He didn't say we have been made to reign. So that Revelation 1 verse 6 says that he has made us kings and priests. Hallelujah. Kings and priests unto God and his Father. He said to him, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we are kings. We reign. Are you following me? In fact, let me slow down. This reigning of as kings, which is reigning over the devil, everything, including angels. You remember? Okay. If that one is confusing, I mean, just scratch it down. It is not something that God decided. Because when I say God has made us kings, people are wondering, how can this has been God's original plan from the time he made the earth? That the man he made. Now remember Genesis 1:26. Open it. Genesis 1:26. He said, let us make man. Watch this. In our image and our likeness. Now, is that everybody on earth? Well, no. Not everybody on earth is meant to be in God's image. But everybody on earth is not in God's image. Right? So what God declared in this Genesis 26 was his intention for mankind. But eventually, mankind did not walk into that. But glory to God, a new species of mankind have walked into it. The new creation man in Christ. So now we are in God's image. In fact, the New Testament will tell us that that's God's image is Christ. Do you remember? Christ is the image of God. So when he was saying, let us make man in our own image, he was saying, let us make man to be like Christ. Is it clear? Now, stay here. When man is made in his image, what will be the first manifestation of that image and likeness of God? Let them have dominion. So the first manifestation of the life of God, the image of God, when God, the first order that God set for man is to be able to have dominion, to rule over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air. You know, Mandoshkini and we are talking about intelligence last week, right? Let me ask you a question that will get you thinking. I've asked it here before. So, who named all the animals? Adam. What does that mean? What does it mean that he named all the animals? I ever thought about that? What language did he name them with? Have you ever thought about it? It's a heavenly language. What language did he name them with? So was he giving them literal names? What do you think happened in Genesis 3? Genesis 2? Don't wait for me to say it. Think. Put up your Bible thinking cap. Was Adam saying, this one shall be lion? Or maybe it's not English, it's Igbo. Ago. Odum. What's crocodile? Agui. Was he doing that? What do you think happened there? Do people want to say it? Or I should say it? Or you say it tomorrow? No, you say it tomorrow. God is such on it. But man carried an intelligence. That's what I'm saying. So back to our study. So man was given. Now check it out. I'll answer it tomorrow. I just wanted to go and do something. Find out. What was this name he had? Was he calling them names? How many animals did he name? Think about that. It just gets you thinking. Right? But whatever happened there was supernatural. That's what I'm trying to say. Yes, it was supernatural. Amen. Okay, let me give you an idea. Right? Who named the woman? Right? Adam named woman. So woman was the last that Adam named. Is that correct? So did Adam... Did you go to Genesis 2? Let me show you this. I will not answer it. I'll just give you an idea for what to see. Genesis 2. And after he slept. Amen. Verse 22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So, what did Adam do here? Giving her a name or describing the nature she will carry, the job she will do, and what she stands for. Just think about that. I will talk tomorrow. But man carried such an intelligence. Say amen. Amen. So they brought lion to him. So back to our study. So Genesis. Genesis 1 verse 26. So man had dominion over these things. That's what I'm trying to show you. So man was not created to run from lion. Think about that. Think about that for real. So man wasn't created to run from snake. Do you know the truth? In the new heaven and the new earth, animals will be there.
but there will be no risk. It's in the Bible. Because by that new earth, it is a restoration of everything. Are you getting the point? I don't, might not get to that. But man had dominion over all these things. Look at, God is very intentional. He mentioned all these spheres. We have the atmosphere. So he said that dominion over the fish of the sea. That's the hydrosphere, right? Water bodies. Over the fowl of the air. Atmosphere. Over the cattle. Lithosphere. Some don't even know what I'm saying. And over... and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeped upon the earth. So he gave him dominion over everything. Just understand it like that. Now, when man fell, now this is very important. When man fell, that fall of man was not just I disobeyed God. He handed over that authority and that dominion over this earth to the devil. That was why, now hear this. When Satan tempted Jesus, he told Jesus, if you bow down and worship me, I'm going to give you all the, he showed him the kingdoms of the world. He said, I will give you. And then he said, why will he said, I will give you all the kingdoms of the earth because they have been given to me. He made it very clear to Jesus. Are you following me? Now, he didn't say God gave him. And Jesus did not also tell him that he was lying. Jesus didn't say, nobody gave it to you. He said, they have been delivered to me. So he knew that he had dominion, he had authority. Are you getting the point? Which is why the Bible we call God, call the devil the God of this earth. The God of this world. Are you getting the point? So what was Adam's inheritance? He passed it on to the devil. He said, all of these things will I give thee if thou fall and worship me. Next verse. Okay, go to the Luke account of this. The Luke account. That's the same Luke here. Luke, then Matthew 4. Luke chapter 4. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, yes. Luke chapter 4 from verse 6. He says, and the devil said to him, all this power, in fact, from verse 5, the devil took him up on a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Right? And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I'll give it. Who delivered it to him? It's not God. God did not hand over this to the devil. So who did? It was the authority. Remember the book of Psalm. The heaven belongs to the Lord. The earth has he given to the sons of men. And here is Satan claiming ownership of the earth. Because there was a transaction that happened in the garden. That man lost his authority to the devil. I get to the point. That's that dominion. That's why the whole creation now turned against man. If you read places like Romans 8, it tells us that during the time when all things will be restored, that even the creation are waiting for that restoration. Because the creation was subjected in futility, not of its own will, but by the reason of him that subjected him in hope. Talking about Adam. Are you following me at all? So what Adam did affected the entire creation, affected everything. So Satan began to rule this world, began to mess things up. Are you here? He said, I can give it to whoever. Give me like an out of this verse. I can give it to whoever. I'll give it. You leave it translation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He said, I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them. The devil said, they are mine. They are mine to give to anyone I please. That's a strong claim. Give me a Amplified Classic. They are mine. And he was talking to Jesus, who is God. So if he was lying, Jesus would have said, shut up, you don't have nothing. But Jesus didn't answer that. Jesus just told him, worship the Lord your God, whom alone shall you serve. And prayer classic is key. He said, to you,
I will give all this power and authority and their glory and all their magnificence and excellence, preeminence, dignity and grace. For it has been turned over to me. It has been turned over to me. So there was a turning over. Are you following what I'm saying now? He said, and I give it to whomever I will. And funny enough, this is the promise that the devil makes a lot of people today. He tells them, when you serve me, I'm going to make you this. I'll give you money. So people even on earth still believe that Satan gives money. It's still the same promise. Are you following me? It's like if you just follow him, he will give you money. You do ritual. You do this. You blow. It's the same promise. What they don't realize is that Satan doesn't have that power over this earth again. Yes. He's still wielding that influence. So, in some places, through ignorance, Satan is just a deception. Through ignorance, he's still playing. But when we came into Christ, we were made to reign as kings upon this earth. Are you following me, friends? So that dominion that Adam lost has been restored to the church. So the church can reign over this earth. So it has always been God's original plan that we will reign. That will reign as kings over this entire creation. Over the devil. Over this earth. Why did I say that Satan doesn't have power over this earth again? Because people are going to fight me for that. I'll tell you why. Because even that Satan that had power over this earth, we now reign over him. Are you guys getting what I'm saying now? He has been put under our feet. So even that power he has over this earth, he's now, whatever he has, we are over him. So follow me this evening. So when people going up and trying to God's covenant with the devil, he's promising you what he cannot give you. That's why even after all those influence and power, with time it fizzles away. Have you not observed? Nothing Satan offers anybody is ever permanent. Yes. You know, we had a story. I had a story recently that somebody was telling me. I won't tell you who, so that you cannot trace. So a young man did business, tried to do something, and he was duped. Are you following me? He was duped of, according to him, hundreds of millions. So he was in pain. He was in pain. So angrily, he left church. Realized what I'm talking to happened this year. He left church and decided to go and do ritual. Are you following me? It was somebody in this ministry, one of us, that actually helped him out. That's what I'm teaching me now. Went to the ritual. He said he has gathered. They were already in. They've gone to the place, waiting for their time to reach to go and see the Baba. They were ready. They were just in a place, drinking and gisting. But his heart was troubled. His heart was troubled. And so he picks up his phone and tried reaching, this is our member here, you know, one of my sons, tried chatting the person up. He wasn't responsive because we were in a meeting then. So another person just came to his mind. He chatted the person up. I just told the guy, can you keep a secret? Because he sent the whole chat to us. Can you keep a secret? The guy said, yes. Tell me, what's up? What's happening? He said, I want to, look at what is happening. I'm in the place I want to do ritual now. You know. And the guy said, where? He told him, he said, run out from that place. He said, no. He said, let me gist you. He told him, he said, shall you ask whether I can keep a secret? Can you keep a secret? He said, because the guy, he said, that guy, he was not telling us that that guy, or telling this, I remember, that guy that he was chatting was once a very wealthy man. Very wealthy. Billionaire. But at the time they were talking, his life was just like every one of them. So that was there, he opened up to him and told him, me, I did ritual. He said, all those money you see, that's where it came from. This is my child that died. That's what caused it. He said, if you know what you can do, if you know how to run, yes. He said, after that, he was telling the guy that, I actually don't know how to leave this place because these people may not want me to go. He said, don't worry, I'm going to call you now and we're going to pretend like there's an emergency. I get to the point. Now, that's the devil, once he makes that offer, you get the offer, it doesn't last. It doesn't have what he's promising you. I feel what I'm saying. Let's have it. We are his boss. His Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So because we don't know, people are looking from the devil what he cannot offer them. Whereas we've been made kings over this earth. We have to learn. We have to learn. We have to be taught. We have to be taught. Are you following me? Today we've been given authority. Now, hear this. We've not just been given the authority that Adam lost. We've been given something higher. Jesus, when he went to the cross and came back, in verse 18 of Matthew 28, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth, he said, has been given unto me. He was talking about himself. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Think about this. Adam had authority over this earth. Jesus said, in heaven and on earth, I have. So he got authority, not just for heaven, but even over the earth. Every authority. All power. That authority he has shared with us now. So we are to reign here as kings. Over everything. After this teaching, and if you can understand it very well, you will stop being beggarly. You will stop living life as though you are living at the mercy of some people, or you don't know how this life will turn out. I don't know whether I'm going to succeed. I don't know whether tomorrow all of us are just going to die. I don't know. You just don't know. We just, they go. That's not how to live life. That's not how kings live life. But just live as though we are paupers all over the earth. Let me say to me, any believer that struggles through life was not well taught. Now, any believer that is in a solid church and eventually struggles through life should be flogged. What did I say? Should be flogged. And this flogging should be through eternity. Every day in eternity, we give you 14 strokes every day in eternity. Because you just wasted your life. Have you been listening to me from the day we started this teaching? The kind of things that you made available for us in Christ. From the love of God to everything he offers, to life and immortality. Did you listen to that? So we even have authority over death. To this intelligence we carry. Now to what I'm sharing with you now. We can reign over things. So if you live your life and end up broke, frustrated and tired, you will go to heaven. But when we get there, we should be flogging you. Every day. Because some people think that they are the mercy of life. You say, you know, for you to be a rich man on this earth, you have to come from a rich family. That's not what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. It said you'll be made to reign. What do you think he was telling them when he was telling them you shall be the first and not the last? All of that he was telling them, that the opposite of that thing that Adam got, you can have it. So, hear this. I'm going to maybe explain this further tomorrow. Every time you read about the Israel nation in the Bible, the Jewish nation, how they fought wars, how they won their battles, how God told them there shall be the first and not the last, there shall be the head and not the tail, how they shall be above only. You know that promise also made to a person, it was made to Israel. Every time you read all those kind of things, they are used as a model of what God wants to make of his church. That's why the church of God today is called the Israel of God. So all that happened to Israel is supposed to be a pattern for what will happen to the church. So we should reign over. Are you following the point now? Take charge of this earth. Take charge of this earth. So Jesus said, all authority in heaven have been given unto me. And let me tell you, and this I'm going to get into some teaching now. Why, how did this authority come about? Why are we able to reign? There is something called, and I'm going to teach on that, just explain it a little today. Something called identification. Have you heard of it? Identification with Christ is one of the biggest and most beautiful realities of redemption. That we are identified with Christ. So that teaching, that reality is this. The fact that Jesus, now don't miss what I'm going to say, that Jesus did not just go to the cross to die for us. He went to the cross to die as us. So he took our place. So look at dying as us. What does dying as us mean? It means that somebody was supposed to die. And you now come and wear the person's tag and die as the person. So the law will treat it as though the person has died. Do you get what I'm saying now? So it's not just that he died for us. He died as us. So when Jesus was hanging on the cross, it wasn't just him hanging there. Are you following me? It was all of us hanging in him. That is why Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. So hear what I'm going to say. Every process that Jesus went in redemption, you went with him. I'm going to show you, after I explain this to you, you will see why I say we have authority over this earth. Every process he went, so I'm crucified. If you don't know Bible, you say, Paul, are you crazy? What do you mean you were crucified? Because Paul, that is speaking like this, never even met Jesus in the flesh. Are you aware? Paul never saw Jesus in the flesh. Never. Not once. The only time Paul ever saw Jesus was in a vision. So Paul is just like you and I, never saw Jesus. And yet he says, I am crucified with Christ. You are not even there when they were crucifying him. How can you say that? Because when he died, I died. When he hung on that cross, it wasn't just him hanging. He hung as all of us. Are you following me? He hung as us. So I am crucified with Christ. So the believer in Christ has been crucified with Christ. The believer in Christ has died with Christ. Is the teaching of identification. It means that Jesus stood as us, went to the cross as us, suffered as us. Because think about it, the wages of sin is death. So and he did not sin. So why was he suffering? He was suffering our suffering for our sin. So why are you saying all this? We are coming. So Jesus was crucified. But we were crucified with him. So when he was crucified, we were crucified, right? If you read Romans 6 and verse 6, Paul said, my old man has been crucified with Christ. Romans 6 verse 6, our old man is crucified with him. If you go to the previous verse, which is verse 5, just give me verse 5. He says, for if we have been planted together, look, go to verse 4. Go. I want to share something. Therefore, we are what? Talk to me, everybody. We are buried with him. So, when Jesus was buried, he wasn't the only one that was put in that grave. We were buried with him. That's why people that practice, but before Jesus died, he was teaching them. He was doing baptism. He was baptizing people. How was he baptizing people? He will dip them. No, he didn't baptize. Actually, disciples baptized people, right? But he will dip them in water and bring them out. It was a star baptism is a sign of burial. Are you following me? I've told the shadows and realities, right? It was a sign of burial. So Paul is saying we have been buried with Jesus. So when he died on that cross, we were hanging there. When they buried him, it wasn't just him inside that grave. We were there too. Let me show you again. So when he rose, it wasn't just him that rose. We also rose. Romans chapter 2 verse 13. Sorry, not Romans, rather. Colossians 2 verse 13. I like Romans too much. Colossians 2 verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, had he quickened together. Give me an NLT. He has quickened us together. Glory to God. Let's do it together, everybody. Then God made you. So when Christ was raised, we were made alive with him. So it wasn't just that rose, we also rose. So the believer can stand boldly and say, do you know, I've been crucified before. I've been buried. I've gone to hell and I've risen from the dead. They will say, I'm talking rubbish. But that's the reality. Because he went there as us. Why, okay, let me ask you. Why did Jesus have to become man? Because he had to be identified with us. Because it's only man that can stand for man. Do you get the point? That's why they had to make him man. So that when we are saying, because it will be man to man. Are you what I'm saying now? Yeah, the Bible actually said this. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. Just explain exactly how I explain this now. Hebrews 2 verse 14. Give me NLT. Read, let's get it back. Read together. Let's go. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by could he break. So it's only by being human that he can die as us. So he became man to be identified with us. So that he can go to the cross as us. So how many of us have gone to the cross here? You. How many have been crucified here? You. How many have been buried? How many have been raised? These are facts of redemption. Because if we build up from here, by the time we began to show you that you have the authority you have in Christ, you will now see how it came about. So we made alive with him. Ephesians 2 verse 5. We are raised together with him. We are made alive with him. Ephesians 2 verse 5. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ephesians 2 and verse 5. Even as we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. Quickened us together. What did the New Living Translation say? He said we are raised together. He said even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. Give me Amplified Classic. Raised Christ from the dead. Amplified Classic. Even when we are dead, slain by your own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and the union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself. The same new life with which he quickened him for. It is by grace, his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved. Shout amen, somebody. Amen. So when Jesus was rising, we are rising too. We rose. Somebody's going to say, sir, is it just us? I mean, everybody that has never been born again. And listen to this. Everybody that believed that Jesus will die, even before he died. You know, listen. You know, today, we believe in Jesus. We believe in what Jesus has done. That's what makes us born again. But before he died, there were people that believed in what he will do. Even those people that believed in what he will do, they also rose with him. That is why, if you read your Bible, the day Jesus rose from the dead, many saints rose too. I mean physically, and appeared to people. It's right there in your Bible. Like many saints that have died. Have you seen that in the Bible? Glory to God. Okay, let me show you because I didn't plan to talk about that too. We rose with him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's Matthew 27, verse 52. Yeah, there. Go to verse 51 so that we can see. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Next verse. Not just that they rose. And came out of the graves after his resurrection. And went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Are you guys following me this evening at all? So his rising was not just him that came out. We came out too. So all of us that we are dead in our sins, the day you come into Christ, it is recorded, it's recorded as though you have died, you've been buried, you've risen. Because that's the truth. So he died as us, buried as us, rose as us. You know, there are a lot of supernatural things that happened when Jesus died and rose. And that's why the apostles could not doubt that he was the Christ. So even when you brought knife to kill them, they said, kill us. How did Peter put it? Peter said, we cannot but tell of the things we have seen. We cannot have, I think that's Peter talking to the guys, the people that were threatening them. Book of Acts. He said, we cannot but say the things we have seen. John put it this way. John said, that which we have seen, which our hands have handled, which we have heard of the word of life, we declare to you. So it was so clear to them. So when Jesus died, he didn't just die. Henry died. When he was buried, they saw the grave like it was one person, but it was all of us. Because we were in him. So I don't understand all these things you people are talking in this place. You people are just confusing the Bible. Well, I'm going to help you a little. Amen. How can you say that you were in Jesus when he died? You that have not even been conceived. Let me ask you a question. When Adam, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1 that God created male and female. Abi? Genesis 1:27. Put it up. Male and female created he them. So from day one, God created male and female. So where was Eve? Can you give her Eve? Where was Eve? Inside the man. So when it was time for Eve to come out, how did Eve come out? God caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam. And he slept. And they opened his side. And Eve came out. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. So there was a Jesus on the earth. When God wanted his descendants to come out, he made him to sleep on the cross. And from that sleep, you came out. When Jesus now saw you, he said, we are of his own bones and of his own flesh. So when Adam was sleeping, Eve was sleeping too. When Jesus died, we also died. When he was buried, we were also buried. When he rose, we also rose. So we are not, it's not just that Jesus died for us. He died as us. So Colossians 3 verse 1 tells us, if you have been raised with Christ, if you then be raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated. Because we've been raised with him. I mean, we rose with him. So let's continue. So we've seen, we died with him, we buried with him, we rose with him. So, when Jesus rose from the dead, he ascended to heaven, right? Right? Just answer. He went to heaven. And where is he? Where did he go to? Which part of heaven did he go to? I'm just trying to teach at everybody's level today. Which part of heaven did he go to? Huh? The right hand of the Father. Is that correct? What did he go there to do? He went to sit. So he is seated at God's right hand. So the question is, when he went there to sit, after we died with him, we are buried with him, we are raised with him, did he leave us to go and sit alone? Let me show you that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father before I continue. Ephesians 1 verse 19. Let me show you where Jesus is seated right now. Because if I show you, I will not show you what I want to say. It's a Ephesians, not Colossians. Ephesians 1 verse 19. He said, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards what who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which is wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him where? So Jesus is at God's own right hand in the heavenly places. Is it clear to all of us? At God's own right hand. So you now go to chapter 2 of Ephesians and verse 6. He now tells us, and had raised us up together and made us in heavenly places in Christ. So where is Jesus seated? Right hand. Where are we seated?
The same place. So when he rose, we rose with him. When he went to sit, we also went to sit with him. Are you following me, friends? I'm teaching you basic redemption story. Basic. When he went to sit, we sat with him. At the Father's right hand. The first question is, where is the Father's right hand? When people hear right hand, what comes to their mind is this right. So I always jokingly ask people, so who is at the left hand of the Father? Mary. Or Holy Spirit. That's nothing like that. The reason you are thinking that way is because you are thinking like a Nigerian. Yes. You are thinking like an African. Right hand means something to the Jews. When you hear right hand, every time you see right hand, the Jews are referring to power and authority. So when they say, this is my right hand man, when they say, you get the point, son of my right hand, son of, that's Benjamin. So I will show you some places in the Bible. In Psalm 110 verse 11, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. What happens at the right hand? Until I make thy enemies thy footstool. He's talking about power and authority. Is it clear to you? Right hand is power and authority. Right hand is not talking about a geographical location. Are you getting the point? Exodus 15 verse 6. I hope I'm correct. I believe I'm correct. Exodus 15 and verse 6. But I had to talk about this. He said, thy right hand, O Lord, is become what? Glorious in power. Thy right hand had dashed in pieces the enemy. Right hand talks about authority and power. That's right hand. Are you following me? So right hand is not like physical. So when you say Jesus is at God's right hand, he's talking about the fact that he's given a place of authority. That's the same thing he was saying in Matthew 8 verse 18 when he said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. He was simply saying, I am now at God's right hand. Are you following me? So right hand refers to a place of power, a place of authority. Let me show you one more. This one should be in my notes somewhere. Yes, Psalm 118 verse 16. Right hand talks about power. He said, the right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. He talks about the place of power. So when the Bible says that Jesus is at God's right hand, it means that he has brought him to that place of power, where God has shared all his power and authority and dominion with him. Is it clear to us? Now the Bible now says that we are seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father. So in that place of authority, that place of power, that place of dominion that he is, that's where we are. So we carry the same authority he has. The same power. The same dominion. The same might. So, when Jesus died, we died. When he was buried, we were buried. When he rose, we rose. When he sat at God's right hand, we sat there with him too. So when God gave him that power, we also got that same power that he has. That's authority. So listen, it is not prayer that makes a believer powerful. It is the fact that he's at God's right hand. Are you following me? Prayer is important. And there is a role prayer plays. Maybe tomorrow we're going to talk about that in deploying this authority we have in Christ. But prayer doesn't make a believer powerful. Prayer is actually a way you wield power. You demonstrate power. You wield authority. But you cannot wield what you don't have. It is being in Christ that confers the authority of Christ upon you. So that exact authority that God gave to Jesus, we got it together with him. Are you getting the point? Thank you, Lord Jesus. So as he sits in authority over the devil and over everything, because people are wondering, when Jesus is at the right hand of the Father,
What is he ruling over? Let me show what he's ruling over. Go to Ephesians 1, because we just stopped verse 19. Verse 20 now. Everybody please read together with me. Are you there? Are you ready? Which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the... What is happening at God's right hand? Verse 21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world that is to come. That is where you are seated. Far above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, every name that is named, even in the world that is to come. That's why in the world that is to come, that is the new earth, we will reign with Christ. This reigning, we are still reigning with him now. We'll still reign with him then. Say, I have authority. Say, I reign as a king over this earth. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. You know, verse 22, he went further to say, to explain the verse 22, the next verse, he said he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things of the church. You know, this is very beautiful. He put all things under his feet and now made him the head of the church. You didn't get it. He put all things over his feet and made him the head of the church. You're not still getting it. Okay, let me explain it to you. So, opportunity to come. Please watch this. So, come quick. This is a full human being. Face the crowd. This is a full human being. Right? This is a full body. This is the head. Do you understand? So, he gave him to me. So, this is the head. This now, this is the church. Jesus is the head. So, from here to here is Jesus. So, from here down is the church. So when they say Satan is, he put everything under the feet of Jesus. Who is the feet of Jesus? The feet of Jesus is the church of Jesus Christ. I don't say it now. He is the head. We are the body. So even the feet, the lowest part of the body of Christ is over the devil. I said the lowest part, the smallest part of the body of Christ is over the devil. He put him to be the head of all things and then gave him to be the head of the church. So he's our head. So we over him. So we can reign. So when I say the authority we received is beyond what Adam lost, I know what I'm saying. We are now seated with Christ. We are seated with Christ. See, everything that you think that Jesus has power over, we have power over that. Please sit down. Sit down. Let me explain this to you. Because I'm trying to make a point. Jesus received authority when he died and rose. Abi? Now listen to what I'm going to say. Before Jesus died and rose from the dead, was he powerful? Was he? Was he raising the dead? Did he have power over nature? Did he? Did he walk on water? Did he calm the storm? So why did he have to go and die to receive authority again? He didn't need what he received after his death. We needed it, he didn't need it. Because even before his death, he was powerful. He received it for us, somebody. It's for us. He didn't need it. Before he died, he was raising the dead. Before he died, he was everything. In fact, he came from heaven. So we used to sing it. So even that heavenly place, he came from there. So it's not like he had anything to lose. But he knew that. That's why the Bible said he was the only begotten of the Father. If he hadn't died, he would have been in that state, that level alone. But when he died, he brought many sons to glory. To bring us to that level. So he didn't have to go die to be able to receive authority. But he had to die to be able to receive the authority that he can share with you. Because it's only by dying that he can die as you, rise as you, and sit as you. So the reason for that process was you. Not because he was powerless, but because it is by subjecting himself to that thing that he can bring you into the life that he has been enjoying. So now we sit as him. Hallelujah. Authority. So when people say, oh, Satan is pushing me in the village, it makes me laugh. It really does make me laugh. I don't know who trained this set of Christians. Who Satan can pursue in their village? I don't know who trained this set of Christians. Who will sleep and see a demon? I cannot sleep back. I'm not your mentor. Or you are not learning well. Yes, I'm not your mentor. You know, my pastor was sharing with us one day. When he was younger, he was praying. You know that something? See, he was just praying, and then boom, his eyes opened, and he saw a demon. And the demon was just there, drooling. Like, you know, drooling like Mr. Life. He said he didn't know what came from his mouth was, if that thing touched me, you will lose your life. He said it was after he said that, and I remembered, the demons cannot, it's not even it's not scripture alone. If that thing touched me, you know, there's an authority we carry. All this while, I just saw somebody's shadow pass, pia, in your room. He said, blood of Jesus. Holy Ghost fire. Where's my anointing oil? The king. Reading as a king. The king is looking for anointing oil and holy water. The king is calling prayer team because shadow passed over his house. King, what's your name? I wish you know. This is a very thing to you that you may know. It's the same authority that he has. The same authority. I want you to go and think until it enters you. It's the same authority. The same place he's seated. So he didn't need to be any more part. But he knew that if he doesn't go through that process, you will not come into that place. So he did it to bring many sons to glory. That we can sit where he's seated. That we can reign as kings upon this earth. Upon this earth. He gave him to be the head over all things to the church. All things. The devil is in all things. Lack is in all things. Money is in all things. Sickness is in all things. He said there is a curse following me from my village. It's in all things. Are you following me, friends? Somebody said our village will never cross this line. It's inside all things. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, somebody heard a story. Man of God was sharing a story. Because I just mentioned something about curses now. He said when he was younger, he had a friend, and both of them had planned, they had a conference they wanted to attend or so, like a Bible school in Lagos. So they had planned to go. But that his friend told him something, that in their family, for whatever reason, they don't go to Lagos. Like, they don't leave their village. I told him, I beg, leave that thing, let's go. He said that they were just in charge. They've not even gone far. A heavy trailer. That is no joke. Crushed everything. They managed to come out with their lives. Him, his leg was broken. Him being the man. And the guy says he's not going again. No. So he come, let's go. He said, please just be going. So he left him and went to Lagos. Then this thing came back. Well, let me call the long story short. The long story cut short. That guy is a believer. Is that today, he's even in the U.S. He's not in Lagos. Because he grew. He got the point of, what kind of rubbish is this one? Cannot go to Lagos, which he's abroad, doing ministry abroad. Because he grew. That is an authority we carry. Which one is, you cannot go to Lagos? So even my family, we don't normally cross this level. Who sets the level? Who sets that level? Most times, the devil that sets that level has gone. It's just your mind that is still keeping it there. But whether the devil is there or your mind is there, same thing. There is power in the name of Jesus. We are seated with him. When you come into a land, when you relocate, you get to a place where you want to do business, subdue the land in prayer. Everything is under your feet. Do you know that when God created the earth, even angels, you are under man? Do you know that for the man in Christ now, even angels are under him? I mean angels of God. Hebrews 1:14, talking about angels. He said, are they not all ministering spirits sent to minister to them that shall be heirs of salvation? So angels, now, what is ministering spirits? The right word there is servant spirits. Like NLT also. He said, they are servant spirits. So it doesn't mean that we can be shouting, angels, get over here. That's not what I'm saying. Even if you do it, it will work. Yeah, I'm telling the truth. But it means that when you speak a word, angels are waiting at your beck and call to carry out what you say. Because you've been given authority over all things. He says, how can you say man is over angels? Let me ask you, is Jesus over angels? So where is he seated? Where are we seated? Who are sitting with him? It's us. Hallelujah. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. So even in eternity, this will say eternity, after this life, next life, that new earth, we will still be kings with him. We'll still be reigning with him. People think that in eternity, we'll just be in heaven singing, waving your hands. No. I don't have time to teach. I don't have the release in my heart yet today for teaching on that. I'm just telling you, it will not happen. You think it's all of singing and saying, hallelujah. Why? What's that? Say, glory, glory, glory. For how long? You know, Revelation 20, verse 6, talking about the millennial reign. People have talked about the millennial reign of Christ and all of that. He says, blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death had no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So in him, the reign of Christ, we are the ones reigning with him. He has brought us to where he is. I forget what I'm talking about this evening at all. So you are the one living a reduced average life here on earth. Managing and just thinking that anything can do, we just did. The nations belong to the Lord. The earth, you know, Pastor Chris used to say, and I've been saying that also. When I heard him say it, I said, whoa, that's beautiful. See, from when they were in school, when he was just a student, he used to tell them, when they gather, he used to tell them, no nations can close their doors to us. He said, he has never even seen an international passport before in his life. No nations can shut their doors to us. Today it is a reality. If Christ comes to your nation, your president will come and usher him. Because the nations belong to the Lord. This is why you're trying to go to whatever country you want to go to, and they are thinking of how to bribe your way, how to do this, how to manipulate, how to just say, if I can just go through Sahara Desert or through Libya, I'll just mingle and come in. The king. The king wants to sneak into a country. Stop thinking like the world. Yes, that's what I'm trying to tell you. You are brought here to reign. Why is the king sneaking into Canada? Yes. Imagine the king coming in like that. Let's go see. He said, what I do is nothing. I just say, play that in your head again and readjust yourself. If God is sending you to a nation, you will come in honorably. Yes. Begin to say that even before you think of traveling. Begin to say it every time you pray and declare. If I'm going to get to a nation, I will enter there honorably. Because no guest of the nation can shut their doors to me. Yes.
Be saying it before you get there. Be saying it. Be saying it. Be saying it. If you have ever said to her that one day you're going out of this country, be saying it every day when you declare that no gates of a nation can shut its gates to me. No nation can shut their gates to me. I will come in honorably. Are you following me, friends? You've got to know that we have been made to reign. Small pain comes on your body. You're thinking, maybe this is how I'm going to die. Die to do what? Who are you dying to? Will you reign over that sickness and shut it down? Shut it down. You see what Jesus did when he was on earth? There was no earthly circumstance that he met that he didn't reign over. In fact, the first one he met was lack. People normally say, God healed the sick, but all this one that God used to provide for people is a lie. You are the one that is a lie. The very first miracle he did on earth was provision. He turned water to wine. His very last miracle on earth was provision. He gave Peter and the rest a big catch of fish. Are you getting what I'm saying? Wherever he saw lack, he dealt with it. Wherever he saw sickness, he dealt with it. When he saw death, he dealt with it. When the force of nature wanted to stop him, the sea and all of that, he dealt with it. The waves, he dealt with the waves. When he walked upon the water, he lived that life, dominating everything that came his way. That is the life of the believer. And when after he finished, he went to heaven and said, come and sit with me where I am. That what I can do, you will also be able to do. You've got to begin to think differently, because some of you, something has to shift in your brain. Don't live life like a beggar. It even reflects in how some of us pray. Some of us pray like we don't deserve anything. God, please, in the name of Jesus, even if it is anything you can do for your boy, what kind of prayer? You pray like you don't deserve anything. Lord, I know I'm nothing before you. You think God likes that kind of prayer? Please stop that rubbish you are saying. You're not being humble. You are being ignorant. I know I'm nothing before you. I'm just a fish. Even a fish is better than me before you, Lord. So just... the one Jesus died for is nothing before him. So Jesus was very stupid. You are not valuable. He just came to die for nothing. You are not nothing. You are valuable. That's why he gave his life for you. You know, you cannot fool God without your humility. That your fake humility. Even people that are proud on earth are saying to God, you know I'm nothing. You. You that is very proud. You think I fool God. You that when you see people, you used to think, you don't even greet people. Say, Lord, you know I'm nothing. Nothing is what? Stop talking like that. If God is causing you to repent of your pride, repent of your pride. When you want to ask for something, ask. Because he has placed you in charge. So that's why I don't pray. God, please, now we want to build a house. Please give us money. In fact, the money we are going to have in the future, give us from it now. Give us more. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. That's how I pray. That's why I pray. If I want to pray for anything in the name of Jesus, maybe tomorrow. I don't know whether time will let me do that tomorrow. Maybe I'll zero in on finance a little, but I don't know if I'll have time tomorrow. In the name of Jesus, thank you for your supplies. Right now, I declare that my needs are met. My needs are met. Over my business, I declare there is now increase. From now, more customers begin to come in. You foul devil, take out of my business. Angels, go forth and curse my customers. There's a way to pray. Like a man that is. Have you ever seen where a king is giving decree? That's how you pray. The king sees her on his throne and he's saying, I heard people have invaded our land. Where are these servants? Please, now people should just go and tell those people to leave. Is that how a king talks? You can tell them to please leave our land alone. No. You can't beg them. He's even begging the servants, please now, just go. please stop that you are doing and go. And I say, I'm talking to you now and I'm doing that. Is that how a king talks? But that's how you relate with life. The only time you know believer's authority is when you want to pray. You want to bind devil. You devil. But you just relate with life as though you are not in charge. You beg through life. There is an ownership mentality you should start having over this earth. I don't know where that came from, but that's very serious. Now I'm going to say it again. You need to have an ownership mentality over this earth. This earth is the Lord's. And it belongs to me. It belongs to me. It belongs to me. It belongs to me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. An ownership mentality. I've told you, this earth no longer belongs to the devil. No longer. And even if you say he belongs to the devil, that the devil owns this earth. Newsflash, the devil is under my feet. So anyhow you take Tonam, I still own the earth. Now if you say he owns the earth, then just so that I own the owner of the earth, he's under my feet. There's no way you turn it. We should run this earth. Yes. I'm not living as though you are begging through life. Don't beg. Don't beg. Get to prayer. Take your place. There is kingship that we carry. So he gave us his authority. We are seated with him. Let me close with this. That's what we mean by the name of Jesus. People, when they say, let's pray, in Jesus' mighty name, people think in Jesus' name is what we use to open prayer and close prayer. No. Just like what people use hallelujah to do. Hallelujah is what you use to break your speech. Hallelujah. So as I was telling the guy, hallelujah. That's not how to use it though. It's hallelujah to break your speech. Or praise God. I was just talking yesterday, praise God. Are you really praising God? Or you just want to give yourself a break to continue the conversation? In Jesus' name is not what we use to open prayer and close prayer. It has implications. So when the Bible said that he gave us, you know, the word name in the Greek, when he says the name of Jesus, he's not talking about, it's not just name as in your name is this and my name is that. That's not what it means. And to prove to you simply that that's not what it means, give me Philippians chapter 2. Thank you, Lord Jesus. From 7. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, yes. Are you here? Watch this. But made himself of no reputation, talking about Jesus, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, watch this, and became obedient unto death, even the death. So he's describing how Jesus died on the cross. What is now the implication of that death? Wherefore, God had also exalted him and given him. So when did Jesus get his name? When he died, God gave him a name. Is that correct? So my question. In the Bible, in the book of Matthew, what was he called when he was born? He was called Jesus. So he was given that name at birth. But Paul is saying he got the name at death. Are you what I'm saying? Go to the first verse. Give me like NLT because I want to show you. Let's do it together, everybody. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Now verse 9. Therefore, God elevated him in place of honor and gave him the name above. So, what name was that? He's not talking about his name like the nomenclature Jesus. He has always been Jesus. That one name, the Greek there is onoma. It means authority. It means, so God did not give, he gave him an authority. I get it, but an influence. That's what they gave him. So when we say that we have the name of Jesus, it means that we have his authority. So let me, what that name is like, if I'm going to be in a place, I send you to go in my name. It doesn't mean I'm sending you to go in Henry.
It is to go in everything I represent. Are you following me, friends? Everything I stand for. So when we say we have the name of Jesus, when I say in Jesus' name I pray, I'm saying I've made this request. Standing on everything Jesus represents. Are you following what I'm talking about? Standing on his authority, his might, his power. That's why I'm making this request. He cannot fail. He cannot fail. So his authority is his name. He gave us that name. So it's not just enough to shout in Jesus' name. You know, people need to realize this. I've explained this jokingly and seriously too. The fact that it's not about shouting Jesus. People say, devil cannot call the name Jesus. That's actually not true. Satan can call the name Jesus. Because the name Jesus is like every other name. This is not blasphemy. Don't stone me. You can give birth to your child and name your child Jesus. And if you don't train your child, your child will become a thief. Even bearing the name Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Yes. You know that you can give a child and name your child Mary. If you don't train your child will become a prostitute. Peter can rob you. You don't know. Peter, if you take your phone. Andrew can take your phone. Not if his name is Melchizedek. He will take your money. The thing about, it's not about calling the name Jesus. In fact, in the Bible, I can show you a place where the devil said Jesus. Nothing happened to him. Do you understand? When the seven sons of Sceva were trying to cast out the devil told them, Paul I know, Jesus I know. Who are you? Said, they didn't die. They didn't fall and somersault. Because the name Jesus is just like a regular name. In fact, the name Jesus is the Hebrew. It means Joshua. Yeshua. Joshua. If your name here is Joshua, then your name is Jesus. So what do we mean by the name of Jesus? It is that. So when any random person can say in Jesus' name, amen. But when a man who knows the authority he carries says it, it carries a different weight. So Satan can say the name Jesus, but if I say Jesus in his presence, he will die. It's not the same name. I'm speaking from a place of revelation. I know what I'm saying. That's why even though Satan can say the name Jesus, truth. But I can stand before a sick person and just say, Jesus. And the person gets healed. I'm not calling the name. I'm coming in the authority. Are you following me? I've gone to do a crusade somewhere. I went to stand to pray for the sick. I finished praying. The Lord said, ask them to shout Jesus 3 times. I'll shout the first one, Jesus. Second one, third one. Healings everywhere. Yes. That it's not just about you shouting the name. You need to know. When the Bible says he gave us a name, it means he gave us his very authority. His very... You know what it means to give somebody your name? Your name. Everything you stand for. Your reputation. Your authority. Your influence. That's why the Bible says a good name is better than wine. It's not about the name. A good name. So you know that it's a name I can give you. Right? Some of you can go to a place and because of, you can just say, I can imagine that looking for a job and you just come, you present, say, who sent you? Say, the president sent me. I came in his name. I say, can you prove that? You show them a letter that carries a signature. Oh, God, you've gotten the job. You came there in his name. We appear in the name of Jesus. We carry an authority. So we face lack in the name of Jesus. We face joblessness in the name of Jesus. We rise against the curses in the name of Jesus. We challenge the situation in the name of Jesus. In that authority that we carry. And nothing can say no. You have to start thinking like a king. That's what I want to say this evening. Tomorrow we'll see other things. You have to start thinking like a king. Even have some of us pray against the devil. We still pray it with a slavery mindset. Or a mindset of let us fight. When they say, begin to thank God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. When they say, begin to pray for souls. Oh, Lord, we pray for souls.
Now begin to pray against every devil that is coming against you. You fold your trousers. Every devil. There is still a war mindset in your head. Are you following me? He said, today and today, every devil. You still, there is still something making you feel that you are in a battle. The battle has been won. The devil is defeated. And we are seated above him, far above all principalities and powers in the Father's right hand. The Bible did not say we are standing at the Father's right hand. It said we are seated there. And you didn't get that. We're not standing there. We are seated in authority. So there's something in our, something wrong with our head. Well, you think we have to. So if there's a demon troubling you, you spend all night. Every demon today. I am not against warfare prayers. There are certain warfare prayers that you must pray. But you must pray it with a certain mindset. You are not about to win. You have won. You are not fighting to win. You are fighting from victory. Greater is he that is in you. First John 5 and verse 4. He said we have overcome. This is the victory that has overcome the world. Even our faith. Even our faith. Whatsoever is born of God. Are you born of God, friends? Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Whatsoever. The right thing there is whosoever. But even the whatsoever is more dangerous. It means if by chance it cannot happen. But if by chance this phone becomes born of God, it has overcome the world. If by chance it cannot happen, because things cannot be born again. But if by chance a dog gets born again. Why can't a dog be born again? Because Jesus didn't die for dogs. He died for man. Is that right? But if by chance, by hook or by crook, a dog becomes born again, it has overcome the world. So what is all this slavery mindset? Praying like a slave? Expecting things like a slave on the earth? Living life like you are managing? Can I say it broadly? I will never be broke in my life. That is not a prayer. That is a fact. And I'm going to work to make sure it happens. He says, can you determine? I can determine. Is the king talking? Who do you think is making that statement? One pauper on the street. The king is saying he will not be broke. He's saying, does he know? He knows. Now, if the king will not be rich, he will make everything happen in the community for him to be rich. We reign. Over this earth. We reign over this earth. We reign over this earth. We reign over devils. We reign over sicknesses. We reign over finances. We reign over all. Hallelujah. The only thing we are not allowed to reign over in this earth, as per rule, are human beings. Right? We are not supposed to dominate people. Bible teaches against that. Right? Peter warns against people that lord it over people. So you're not meant to dominate people or intimidate them. We are meant to love people. We've learned that, right? So when it's people, you love them. You're not trying to intimidate them. But I'll tell that I'm a king in Christ. That's not what we're saying. Are you following me? That's not what I'm saying. So when you get to a place of work, you say, today I will show you that I'm a king in Christ Jesus. I'm not showing you Pepe. You know, I'm a wicked king. You don't do that. The Bible calls that a doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And God hates it. Are you following me? You don't reign over people. You don't lord it. Now, even in church where I'm the pastor, people should submit willingly. They should deliberately decide to submit their will. So I cannot come and be telling you, today, you must, whether I like it or not, you must do this. No, you have to submit for it to happen. Do you get the point? That's why even in marriage, where a woman is submit to a man, the woman is asked to submit willingly. If the woman doesn't submit willingly, a man cannot take it forcefully. So I don't start beating her up. They say, why are you beating her? I say, she should submit. The Bible says she should submit. The Bible didn't say you should make her submit. It says she should submit. It is her job to submit. You're not the one that will say, sir, she has to obey the Bible. She has to submit. Mm-mm.
The Bible didn't put that on you. The Bible didn't put that on her. She's the one that should learn the word and submit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, you're not the one that will force her to submit. Even in your place of work, you don't force people to submit. If they don't submit, sack them. It's as simple as that. So God doesn't encourage lordliness over people. But you see, once it's not people, if it is devil, is that devil like man or man like devil? I will lord it over you. I will rule, I will dominate you. You see, earth will rule this earth. I want, if whether you are going to stay in Nigeria or in Spain or in space, all once you are in the place, just know that you are meant to have authority over this place. You cannot be in a place and you are the lowest. You should dominate your field. It's not money. It's not things. You are meant to reign over those things. I believe that. He told them, you shall be above only and not be late. Above, not above sometimes. Above only. That's Deuteronomy 28. You shall be above only. Only. Can you meditate on that? Above only. Not sometimes. Only. So even when you find out that things are not going well for you, take the word of God and put it on your lips. I'm above only. Above only. Because that's what the word of God says. I'll talk about that tomorrow also. But the way this is looking in my head, I don't think I'm finishing this thing tomorrow, but I pray I do. Above only. Reigning as kings over this earth. See, there's any area of your life you do not like, exercise your kingship. That's what you should do. And not talk like a beggar. Recently, I listened to Pastor Chris Eklom on something. There were some things he said in that teaching. It took me time to even process it. It took me time to process it. He said, the way some of you talk. He said, in the realm of the spirit, you don't say, I'm hungry. Just leave it. All he's trying to say is that in the realm of the spirit, you don't put yourself at a place where you are a needy. Some of us talk like we are needy, we are begging. Stop begging. Start reigning. I have what I need. That's not everybody. I say I have what I need. See, even in our prayer, we pray like we are begging. God, please, it's just see, I'm asking. Is it too much to ask? Just a see. I know I don't deserve it. Maybe you don't. Because you didn't read your book. I know I don't deserve it. I know I'm just worthless. But Lord, just look upon me as nothing. Do you think God is honored by that kind of prayer? If there's any word like that, he's disgusted by it. Now, I said it. He is disgusted by that kind of prayer. If you can just, Lord, please, now, imagine you are a wealthy man, because you will be. And then you will a certain percentage of all your wealth to your son, which you will. And then the guy is doing well, and you are passing, you see him begging someone. Say, madam, please now, even if it is one cup of garri, please give me. Is he acting? It's a skit. It has to be a skit, because there is no way to say, please now, I need more skit makers in this church. So all this, my illustration can be acting them. So I can convey very strong messages. Imagine the Lord of the whole earth is saying, one cup of garri. He walks in there. What's wrong? Say, please now, madam, it's not. Madam, get out of my shop. He say, yeah, now, madam, please now, one cup, please. Now you check again, his account is reading billions. Just get him for deliverance. That is how God sees us go through life beggarly. And he said, I've made this one king. This one is in charge. He's still begging through life.
Even when he comes to me, he's begging. He's begging. He's like, I want to beg God again. When you are begging God, you still don't understand redemption. You still think that what you are asking for is in God's hand. He has made you king.
They are coming back to you and say, please now,
Daddy, my father, the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, Jehovah Shekinah glory, Jehovah Ancient of Days. And all that name you are giving him is to see if you will convince him to give you 1/5. There is still a slavery thing happening to your head. And we need to uninstall that rubbish. That's why some of you cannot even dream big dreams. You can't even dream big. What's your dream salary? 180,000. That's your dream salary. Can't even dream big. Something in your head has stopped you from thinking beyond your immediate environment. Say, me, I'm just trusting God that we'll be big in this life. And you not think the person is about to make a very powerful statement. Say, we'll just be big. Huh? I'll just pay for my flat and sit down there and have 8 children. Our boss will just be happy. That's his idea. He's even afraid to think ownership. He's afraid to think that you can own a house in Enugu, own in Asaba, own in Lagos, own in Abuja, own in Bedugri, own everywhere. He said, what are you doing with all those lands? Own it. Now when they say, want to plant church in Canada, you say, what area is that? Because I have a land I can give for the church to use. Now, it's actually biblical. He said, you will live in, you will build houses. You might not be there now, but start thinking it. Start thinking ownership over this earth. The earth is the Lord's. That's the way kings think. That's the way kings think. You fall sick. They say your leg will be, you can't walk again. Say, if I can just be using clutches, will you stop thinking like an animal? That's the way kings think. He called us to reign. See, you want to build a house. And somebody comes to your village land to say, anybody that enters this land will die. The next time that comes up, let me tell you what to do. Get the person on camera. Because you need to make money. You should say it on camera and then you video yourself entering the land and coming out alive. Because you are so sure. So what if you not enter and die? Die. When I 2 days, this devil. When I still rate this devil, we know what we know. We reign as kings. The next time something comes to your head, all these things, just think about it. Seated with Christ in heavenly places. Jesus the head, me part of the body, and all of us are above the devil. So can you show me where the devil is currently? I like children ministry. They used to sing it. Satan is under my feet. We said that in children class. We are back now as adults. And the person under our feet, we are fighting him. You don't fight the devil. You put him in his place. There is no battle between Jesus and this and Satan. Hebrews 2 verse 14. For only as a man could he die. And only by dying could he destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. He's destroyed. So does it mean there's no more devil? Well, there is. Still deceiving people, he's deceiving. The greatest weapon of the devil today is not power. It's deception. And he has deceived many people thinking that he's something. Are you following me? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Holy. Sing it now. Ay, 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 ay.
What is your name?
Worthy
is your name.
Is your name.
Lord, we worship.
We worship.
My God.
Your majesty.
See, awesome God. You are God.
You are God.
Mighty are your miracles.
Mighty are your miracles. We stand in awe of your holy name.
Say, Lord, we bow.
Lord, we bow.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And worship you.
I will leave you with this. Start thinking like the one that has authority. You know, some time ago, Pastor Chris Oyekweme was talking and Sinach was there. And why there's nothing wrong with this, we sing that song. But well, he said something. He told her that the song Waymaker, she should not sing it like that again. That is not a correct song. You know, this caused a stir on Facebook. People don't know where to put their mouth and where to remove their mouth. A pastor is telling the member. A father is telling the daughter and you are arguing. The daughter is not correct. And the reason he gave her was, now, I understand what he was saying. I understand that there is a place where God is a way maker. Where he is a miracle worker. Where is a promise keeper and all of that. But he was telling her, he said, all those things currently on earth, God has made us. The Bible, Jesus didn't tell them, when you get to the field, call me to come and heal the sick. He said, heal the sick. He didn't say, when you get there, call on me to raise the dead. He said, raise the dead. So he said, we are the miracle workers. And that's the truth. Jesus worked miracles on earth. He has given us that power now to work miracles. Are you following me? He's a way maker. Yes, he has made a way. He, as a matter of fact, he's actually, the Bible doesn't even call Jesus a way maker. He is the way. Even if we want to go into serious doctrine of Jesus now. But we are the ones with the authority we have to make ways. So when you get to a place and say there is no way for you, you go in the realm of spirit and you make the way. Are you getting the point? When they say the labor market is full, there is no room for you, you make room for yourself. Don't be crying. Make room for yourself. Are you getting the point? It says, what of light in the darkness? You are the light of the world. You are the one that will shine. So there's nothing wrong with the song, right? You can sing it in referring to Jesus. But sometimes also know that beyond all those things that Jesus can do, he does them through you. So he's a way maker. But how he will make that way, he will not come down from heaven. It is through you that he will make the way. I get what I'm saying now. So he's a promise keeper. Yes, he keeps his promises. But you know what? Even when God makes promises to us, we still have to contend the prayer. It is through us. So you are passing and you see someone that says, I've been sick for long. You don't say, let us call on Jesus, come and work miracle. You say, the miracle worker is here. And you are going to receive a miracle now. Now that's not pride. Now if you say that from a place of pride, now you know. You tell me whether you have power. It's not God that gave you. But the miracle worker is here. Well, Abraham, those days, he wants to walk, he wants to pray for you. He will just line everybody up and he will ask you one question. Do you believe that God has anointed me to heal the sick? If you say yes, even if you are dead, you will come back to life. Well, Abraham has such a healing anointing. But you must answer that question before he prays for you. Do you believe that God has anointed Abraham to heal the sick? If you say no, he will never pray for you.
If you start doing and say, Abraham is not the healer, Jesus is the healer. Okay. Bye bye. You got me, Jesus, to heal you. And that doesn't call for pride. That calls for awareness. As a matter of fact, if you are aware, you will not be proud. Because you also know that he's the one that gave you all that grace and all of that. Tomorrow I will talk about something. Just a little. I will show you tomorrow. Part of what we look at tomorrow is that even the glory of God, he has given us. Don't run away. Be here tomorrow. Don't say, this guy is about to scatter everything. Don't worry, tomorrow you're going to hear it. It's very clear. John 17 verse 22. Jesus said it himself with his mouth. It's not as just Jesus said. John 17, 22. Because I know somebody's heart must be racing because I've already said that I'm made now. Put it up on the screen quick. John 17, 22. He said, the glory which thou givest me, I have given them. I'm going to explain this scripture tomorrow. The glory you gave me, I've given them. So, there's fear in your heart. You should be in charge. Are you getting what I'm talking about, friends? You should be in charge. Jesus did it in a way that we can run things here. So, after this status of life, I'm going to make a statement, but let me even make it now. If you live life miserably, you have nobody to blame. Not God, not Jesus, definitely not Pastor Henry. You have nobody to blame. Even if you are born, thank you Lord Jesus, into a bad family. Your background was bad. You were broke. You didn't even go to school. You had a bad start, a poor start, or a slow start in life. It doesn't matter now. Now you've received eternal life. Now you can rewrite the whole story. You are now the one with the pen. Write the story you want to write. I saw that in the spirit now. I saw it in the spirit. You are not the one with the pen. Write the story you want people to tell. Your background have told their story. You can now tell your own story. And you have that power because you are the one reigning on this earth. If there's any area of your life you don't like what is happening, you can stop it now. You can stop it now. You can stop it now. You can address your finance. You can address your health. You can address your life, your relationship. You can address, you are the one running this earth. Stop praying. Stop expecting like a beggar. Expect like a king. He has made us kings over this earth. That we shall reign. Lift your voice, just pray. If there's any area of your life that you think that you need something to happen, pray now. All over this place. Like a king, take your authority. Pray like you know. Pray. Speak over that rubbish. Cancel the debts in prayer. Deal with the curse in prayer. Deal with the sickness in prayer. Come on. Handle that jobless situation. That cycle that's been going on and on. Stop it now. Don't negotiate. Stop it.
The earth is the Lord's. I'm energy in the spirit. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Speak now. When a king has spoken once and he was not heard to, he says it again. Did you guys not hear what I said the last time? That's how to pray. Just pray, pray. You have 2 to 3 minutes. You have 3 minutes more to pray.
For more information, inquiry or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.